You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
Never filtered, always fun. This is Overdrive.
That's mailing in Friday.
I called in sick. I don't work in the rain.
Well, I kind of mailed that in.
You can't deliver mail?
Why not?
Yeah, whatever.
I guess you're right. It's just walking around and putting it in the boxes.
It's Mail It In Friday.
Shut up and drive.
With Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
So I'm looking on Twitter and somebody sent in a picture of your Barry Colts team picture. So how did you transition into this career? Like, did you finish hockey and be like, I got no life, I got no job? What the hell did you do?
Well, I went to school. Like, by the end of my junior
career. You went to school
career,
for broadcasting?
Amongst other things. I was...
You were a goon in school.
Yeah, I wasn't overly scholarly. I'll be the first to admit that. But I was pretty clear and cut at, by the end of the junior career, okay, I'm not going to chase it, and I'm not going to try to play in Europe. I'm not... Because there are still a bunch of guys my age who are still playing.
Oh, it's...
You know, who are playing in Europe, who are playing in the East Coast Hockey League or
my
whatever.
My best buddy had a different phone number every week in the East Coast League. Got traded, moved, changed teams. Finally had to tell him, man, like, you gotta start your life.
Well, and that's what I was thinking. I mean, when I look back on it, I probably should have relaxed a little bit. I was young at the time, but I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, okay, what am I going to do? Snap out of it at 25, 30 and have no life experience, no work experience? I mean, it's a very difficult decision to make if that's all you've done and that's all you know, right? Like, you played hockey the same way I played hockey all the way up. If at 20 you just stopped playing, what would you have done with your life?
No idea.
And I think that's the opposite end of it. I was thinking, okay, I got to find something to do with my life, so I'm done here. Other guys are like, I don't know what else to do, so I'm going to keep playing until I'm told I can't play anymore. It's not that you can't make a good living. If you play in Europe, you can make 150 grand, 200 grand a year. That's a great life. But you're more than likely at the end of it not going to have a life savings that you can live off the rest of your life. So you got to figure out something else to do. But that picture, man, I look quality. I'm in the back row, one of the taller guys on the team.
It's a solid pick.
It's a very good-looking pick, and you can find it up at the Barry Molson Center. Get up there. Check it out. All right, Jeff Weltman from the Raps will join us here in a moment. The Maple Leaf lineup player of the day, the theme this week, has been a very confusing one. It's players who were on the Leafs roster the last time the Maple Leafs made the playoffs, the same season the Red Wings didn't, which was back in 89-90. The reason we have that is because we're giving away a pair of tickets to see the Leafs take on Detroit March 7th down at the ACC. And today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day is Gary Lehman. Gary Lehman, one of the only Leafs to ever score 50. One of only three Leafs to ever score 50 goals in a season. Gary Lehman is your Maple Leaf lineup player of the day. Phone lines are open, 416-870-1050. First person in to call in with all five names correctly, you pick up a pair of tickets to see the Leafs take on the Wings March 7th down at the ACC. 416-870-1050. Do you think there's a current Leaf that at some point in their career will score 50 for this team?
Yes, number 34. And if he doesn't, number 16.
I don't know if Marner will ever be a goal scorer to that extent.
He scored a pile of goals in junior, man.
He's more of a playmaker.
Like, scores a lot of goals.
He does. Like, he's got 15. He's on pace for over 20 as a rookie. Connor Brown scored his 15th last night. Like, if they all continue at this pace, they're going to have four rookies score more than 20 goals.
It's awesome.
That's a very significant number. Matthews, I think he's got the ability to score 50, but the way the game's played right now, I think Babcock is going to take more and more focus out of his offensive side of things, play him more defensively, or get him to focus more defensively as he goes on with his career.
He doesn't need to play defense. He's always got the puck. And when he doesn't have it, he works to get it back. And then he's got it all night. He's one of the best back checkers on the team.
Do you think Nylander could score 50? He's got the shot.
He does. Well, now we're talking about all of them scoring 50 goals.
I don't think Marner will ever score 50. I just don't think that's his style of play. I don't think his shot is good enough to score 50 in the NHL.
Yeah, he doesn't look like your prototypical. Like, Patrick Kane hasn't scored 50, I don't think. Has he?
No.
So,
I think it's Matthews and Nylander. Those are the two guys.
Will there be a 50-goal score in the NHL this year?
No, I don't think so. Sid's got, what, 33 with 20-something games left?
Probably not.
Remember, at one point, we were thinking this guy could end up scoring 60 the way he was going, but inevitably, he had to slow down. Raptors back in action tonight down at the ACC. I expect the building to be hopping tonight.
Yes.
Serge Ibaka making his debut. We're going to find out whether or not P.J. Tucker will, in fact, play. But the All-Star break, it's a long one in the NBA.
Good on them.
Good on them. And they picked up a big win right before they went into the break. Great fourth quarter. Came back from down 17 to pick up a win. But they've struggled the past month and a half. But they were very active leading up to the trade deadline. And Boston's a team they're chasing. And it's happening tonight down at the ACC. And to tee it up and look back on the deadline, amongst some other things, we're joined now by the GM of the Raps. Here is Jeff Weltman. How you doing, Jeff?
Good, good. Thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for doing this. What are you expecting tonight in terms of the crowd because of Ibaka playing, coming out of the All-Star break? The Celtics are in the building tonight. What kind of a expectation do you have in terms of the buzz at the ACC?
I think it's going to be electric in the arena tonight. I think that it's the first game after a long break, and I think all the players are itching to go, and they want to get back out on the court and kind of pick up the last part of the season. And obviously, we made a couple acquisitions that I think our guys are excited about, and I think the fans are feeling that, and every expectation points to an electric building tonight.
So what's the latest on P.J. Tucker and whether or not he'll play tonight?
So P.J. got in. He got on a flight like a red-eye and got in this morning, and we ran him through all the battery of medical tests that one must go through when completing these deals. And he's going to be suited up and available now, no familiarity with plays, players, coaches, but he will be wearing a uniform, and it'll be up to Coach Casey about how he feels his readiness is to help us win games at this point.
We talked a lot last week about the acquisition of Ibaka and what he brings to the team. Take us through what Tucker is going to bring to your team down the stretch.
Man, when it's funny when you talk to teams and when you go through these deal scenarios, you're trying to probe to see what kind of positions guys need and what direction they're taking the team in. And so often it's not really a position, it's just an ingredient. And with us, toughness, IQ, experience, swagger, ability to hit a shot. So with both of these guys, with PJ and with Serge, we feel that they're gonna deliver both of those, and that'll hopefully elevate the rest of the group.
With Jeff Weltman, GM of the Raps. Raps back in action post All-Star break tonight. Boston in town. You guys have really been applauded for the moves that you made, acquiring Ibaka and acquiring Tucker. Not only for what those players represent, but more so about the prices you paid. How do you feel about the price you paid both for Ibaka and Tucker, I guess combining the two, because league-wide a lot of people are believing that you may have fleeced two teams here?
I mean, I don't know about that. Look, Terrence Ross is a good growing player. He's a great kid. We gave up a first-round pick. We gave up a couple seconds, and who knows what they become. We obviously felt they were equitable deals or we wouldn't have pulled the trigger. But I can tell you this, there's definitely no back padding at our place right now. I mean, it looks great on paper, and I'm glad that all the deals are well received. But, it's up to the guys, it's up to the coaches, and it's up to our group to just make it work now. And so now comes the work. So, no smiling faces right now. Right now it's about kind of making sure that the lines of communication are there, that the chemistry is there, that the right combinations are there. And I can tell you that as excited as we are to have these guys, these are going to be long nights for the coaches to make all this work.
There were some big names reportedly on the table league-wide. Did you guys, or how extensively did you kick tires on other deals, maybe featuring more prominent players?
Mm-hmm. I can tell you this, there's never, at any deadline or draft period, there's never a team that we don't talk to. You know, you get a little further down the road with some teams than others, and then you look back and say, does it really matter? Once in a while, a talk will carry over to the next cycle, to the next, so for the draft this time around. But generally, you kind of just put those in the waste paper basket and move forward. So, yeah, we spoke with teams, and we did have some, I would say, some meaningful discussions. But, 99% of those things don't amount to much. And the two that did, we were able to, kind of bring to the table and get things done. And we were happy about those ones.
With Jeff Waltman, GM of the Raps, what also stuck out from the two deals is you gave up picks, but you didn't give up any of the kids. Poeltl's still here. Siakam's still here. Wright is still here. Powell's still here. Bebe's still here. Was that your hope? Was that the plan leading up to the trade deadline, that you wouldn't have to give up any of the kids?
Oh, man, I'm so glad you asked that. We are such believers in our young guys, and it was very important to us. You never want to draw a line in the sand because you never know what conversation is going to go where. But we really took great care and made it clear to teams around the league that we value our young guys highly. And the other thing is, it is a good draft, and we wanted to stay in the draft. So with the Orlando deal, we traded one of our two picks, and we kept the better of the two. So however that shakes out between our pick and the Clipper pick, we'll retain the better of the two. So we did want to kind of like keep be players in the draft. But for sure, I think you bring up a great point. And I think, we got a little taste of it last game with DeLon Wright showing what he can do a little bit. And, we really do believe that our young guys have good futures, and we're definitely invested in them.
Raps Celts tonight, kicking off the post-All-Star break. They're a team that you're chasing at this point. A lot of focus has been on the way you guys have played over the past 6-7 weeks. I don't think anyone's happy around the team. I know the fans aren't necessarily ecstatic, but you still got a lot of times to get this back on the rails, and you guys are still in a very good spot, fifth in the East. What needs to change? Compare and contrast when you're rolling compared to the way you've been playing recently. What are you focused on that you want to see out of your team to get them back rolling again?
That's a great question. In all honesty, that's probably better served for Coach Casey, but I can tell you that we do definitely feel that the two guys that we added will give us somewhat of a boost, as far as we've lost a little bit of swagger, I think. And these guys will help us get that back. We, Serge has played in finals, and TJ's one of the rough and tumble guys in the league. And I think that'll help somewhat. I also think that not to ever use this as an excuse, because all teams go through it, but to lose Patterson for a month and kind of be filling in at that spot with rookies and guys out of position, and all of a sudden be able to come back post-break and have not one but two quality power forwards, I think will make a big difference, and it'll kind of balance out the way that the team is supposed to play a little bit. But that being said, these things are so fickle, and I wish I could give you a better answer. I feel that we went through a really bad spell where we were kind of in a funk, and then we really worked hard to get out of it, and we were able to at least be in games, and we lost a couple of 2-point games in a row, and started to work our way out of it. So I think that the rest will help. I think getting our guys back will help. I think that the addition of these new guys will help. But now it all sounds good, and it all looks good on paper, but now let's find out.
Did the injury to DeMar DeRozan cause a problem with the swagger?
Yeah, those things never help. And again, I don't like to use those as excuses, because we played without DeMar last season for a stretch and we played well. I think sometimes when the injuries get compounded and you're missing multiple guys and, you start pulling from other positions and putting guys into unfamiliar roles. DeMar also tried to come back a little soon, and he played a game probably where he shouldn't have, and then he had to go back out again. So I think those things all contribute. But that being said, we did not play well. Our guys didn't step up to the challenge, and I think more recently towards the break they did. They really got back their togetherness and their kind of ability to lift each other up, and I think we started to look better coming towards the break. So hopefully that energy and that spirit and that togetherness will carry you through, and it sure will be nice to have a healthy DeMar, a healthy Patrick, and the two additional guys that we got in the deadline. So we'll see what that looks like.
Raps Celts tonight down at the ACC. Good luck tonight. Always appreciate the honesty and you taking time for us. Thank you for this, Jeff.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Jeff Waltman, GM of the Raps.
I'm pretty jacked up. I hope it works out.
Yeah. I mean, they're obviously, I think I think they approached it the way everyone on the outside was approaching it, too. Something was amiss with this team. For whatever reason, for 6 weeks, they just lost their mojo. Well, and they needed some life.
You just hope they're not maybe like the Montreal Canadiens, where you're starting to say to yourself, maybe you're not that. Maybe you shouldn't be thinking like that.
Right.
Because that's the worst possible scenario.
What I think they really did, though, you know, listening to them, watching them, and you listen to Masai, you listen to Jeff, right, is that, you know, I think they really look closely. Okay, so they're having those problems. But to me, an outsider looking in, it looked like they were really trying to, what are our real problems? And what problems do we need to address and upgrade? And I think they're really happy about what they did.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
for sure.
Talking about, you know, defending the rim and, you know, a little bit of toughness in there. And so you want, it's one thing, a lot of teams, Jeff, and you know this, and Brian, you do too, you think you make a move, but just because you make a move doesn't mean it's the right move.
Well, and that's the gamble that comes with every single trade, right?
It does become with a gamble, but I think they're really measured in terms of identifying what their issues
were. Yeah, I think they knew they needed help with the four, and that's where Ibaka comes in. They needed help because Patterson's been banged up all year, and the other options just simply are not good enough.
Right.
So Ibaka's going to step in. As Jeff pointed out, a healthy Patrick Patterson really helps the rotation that much more. They're ready to rock. So now it's on the players. Now it's all on the players and the coaching staff to make sure that they get going. And it would be pretty good if they started tonight against Boston, because Boston's a team they're chasing Washington. And you want to be either second or third so you avoid Cleveland in the second round if you're lucky enough to get
there. An exact some revenge for that last game in Boston.
That's right.
You know, where they were winning big and then they let it slip in the fourth quarter. What did they get outscored? 31-19 in the fourth quarter.
Throwing up bricks.
Yeah, Isaiah Thomas scored, I think, 19 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Might be a guy you want to focus on tonight.
That was a tough one.
Yeah, that one stung. Duffy will be in studio. We'll get to future headlines, Leafs Habs tomorrow night, and Pat Perez audio.
That's the one I want to hear.
We're going to hear what he had to say about Tiger Woods. We'll get to that next. Well, James Duffy has joined us in studio, and he has brought a cast of characters with him. We have an audience for this whole segment. Is this going to be a part of the podcast in the future, potentially?
Or? No, he's trying to find people to buy it.
That's right, potential sponsors. They're always there around every corner.
Oh, I know, you know what I've ever always wondered about something like that? Like, what is the sponsor of your dumb podcast? Get out of it.
They get a lot of extensive publicity.
No way.
Yeah. You know, look at, I'll tell you what.
If I was an owner of a company or something, I would look at my sales or like clicks on the internet after sponsor. If it didn't go up, I'd be like, you and your podcast, out.
Well, the thing about podcasts, though, over like, let's say television. So the problem with television advertising now is that everybody PVRs stuff and fast forwards through commercials. But on a podcast, you get attentive listeners. So if someone is clicking on a podcast, even though the numbers might not be the same as TV or radio, those people are there to listen to it. So you figure you might get more bang for the buck. I don't know why I'm trying to sell you on podcast advertising.
Like, we're not buying
it. But I am.
But maybe there's someone out there that will. Have you seen, you're not wearing the alumni jacket anymore.
I showed him.
What did you think of O's Maple Leaf alumni jacket?
He already asked me if he could wear it on the air for a Leafs game. I think it crosses the line of journalism, but he crossed it a long time ago.
I know. Were you there during the draft?
No, but you
lottery?
Have to pretend a little bit.
Yeah,
don't you?
But the question is, where is it cool
to wear the jacket?
Is it not cool to wear it anywhere?
Have you guys had this discussion if he should wear it to the bars or whatever?
Oh, yeah, we all said it. No. We said only at the game.
Like Ray Ferraro, like adamantly said, you cannot wear that anywhere but that arena.
No, I see this. The Legion. Do you ever go down to the Legion?
No.
I love the Legion.
See? Live studio audience. Yeah. Oh, we got a laugh track.
Did you plan that? You told
him. Yeah, I told
that
live.
When I say something, Legion, laugh. You guys laugh.
He wants to know, James, if it's appropriate to wear it to a dinner party.
Yeah, like if you go to somebody's like restaurant, they're at, like a dinner party.
It's a bit of a show-off-y thing, wouldn't you say?
Oh, it's so obnoxious.
Okay, so like would the Hall of Famers wear their Hall of Fame jackets? I'm sure there's some that do.
They wear them to the Hall of Fame.
Well, that's okay, but on Hall of Fame night, you wear it.
Right.
But... So if you're going to a Leafs function, yes, I would say. If you get invited to, you know, whatever, some sort of alumni function, that would be the appropriate thing to wear. But if you're going
going out to a restaurant, you think putting that thing on would be a joke?
I think it's a little cheesy.
Well, do you think if
but you,
you wore...
seem very proud of it. And I
do, and I think I should be able to wear it wherever I want.
You can do whatever you want. I mean, it's your jacket. It's your hometown. You played for the team. We can't take that away from you. But we use the Masters analogy where you go down to Augusta. You've been down there a lot. The former winners, they walk around Augusta National in their jacket.
Right.
And my understanding is they have replicas that they can bring home. So technically, they could walk into any bar, restaurant, whatever, around the world. But I can't imagine Tiger Woods would go bombing into a Perkins wearing the Masters.
Well, he bombs into the Perkins, but for different reasons.
Let's bring it closer to home. For a long time, TSN had the jackets with the old logo, right? We used to wear them on air.
Yeah, the black jacket with the yellow writing.
Do you think if Gino showed up at a dinner party wearing that, would that feel appropriate?
I think it would, because it would be a great icebreaker. Because it would just be more funny.
Yeah, it would be a joke.
That's what I'm saying.
Do you want him to be a joke?
Well, from that standpoint, then yeah, I support it.
Look, it's easy for us to make funny. We never scored 40 in the league, right?
41.
I wear my MVP flag football jacket around everywhere I go.
That's what these guys thought I had when I told them about the jacket. They're like, thought it was a bantam hockey leather jacket. I'm like, no, it's a nice sport jacket.
Is this one of Shanny's things? Is this a new thing?
It started this year, yeah.
Yeah, Shanny.
Are you expected to wear it at the game if you go, do you think?
I think so, yeah. Well, I was supposed to send in measurements at the beginning of the year. And then I saw the jackets and I liked it. And I didn't send in my measurements. And I was like, I need one. I want my jacket. He's like, well, you didn't send anything in. I'm like, that's when I asked you, what size jacket am I? So I told him, I said, do you have any of these?
Shanahan?
No, you think I would talk to him like that?
Well, I thought that's what you meant. I said, Shanny, just get it done.
No.
I know I didn't put in my measurements, but make this happen.
I've got an inside connection down at MLSC, and they claim, or he's claiming, the alumni, they love it, and they're walking all over the ACC in the jackets. So I think you should be doing that, too.
Well, why don't you tell James what you thought I originally looked like when I put it on?
I thought you looked like an usher at the ACC.
Like nothing.
It's not that far off. You've been there.
Yeah.
They get the patch, and instead of alumni, it just says
better than
usher.
Looking like an usher at Maple Leaf Gardens, per se.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I would say so. All right, I want to get to, yeah, come on now. I want to get to a poll question here in a moment, get your answer on it. Want to get to future headlines, but... We mentioned Tiger. Do you want to hear what Pat Perez had to say about Tiger?
I heard.
Okay. The audience,
but yes,
we
haven't heard it live. Sorry.
So, that's where you're supposed to say yes.
Yes, Brian, I'd love to hear that clip.
Do you want to do the quiz? No, I'd rather not do the quiz. How would that go over on the panel? All right, let's hear
He says that every time the quiz is on, he doesn't want to do the
quiz. Well, that's
true.
And Bob makes it pretty clear, too, but somehow it happens. Here's what Pat Perez had to say earlier today about Tiger Woods.
He knows he can't beat anybody, but what he does, he's got this new corporation that he started. So he's got to keep his name relevant to keep the corporation going. So he's going to show up to a few events. He's going to try to play. He's going to show his, you know, what's the bag? The monster, he's got to go out there and show the monster bag. Mm-hmm. He's going to show the TaylorMade driver. He's going to get on TV. You know, he's got the Nike clothes. He's got to keep that stuff relevant. But the bottom line is he knows he can't beat anybody. He knows it. I mean, the guy shot 77. That guy can't shoot 77.
No.
You know, and then what does he do the next day? Oh, my back's going. He knows he can't beat anybody.
That sounds like Skip Bayless. That doesn't sound like a player on tour. I mean, that is an absolute destruction of Tiger Woods.
So if he's going to get ripped everywhere and every golfer is going to rip him. And I mean, the problem is he's Pat Perez. And that's if that's Jordan Spieth or Phil Mickelson or something, it's got a little more credibility than
what
that.
What outlet was that on?
Yeah, was it just a local radio show?
Yeah, I believe it was, yeah. I should probably credit it. Find out where it was. Fox Sports.
But there are probably other guys thinking that. And so I always hate it when there's instant condemnation for a guy who speaks out, because that's what we always hate in hockey, right? We hate how guys never say anything. So if other people play that way on tour, and he might turn out to be right. I think it might be a little early to make that proclamation. And I don't actually think, I think he's wrong. I think Tiger still probably thinks he can get better. It's just a lot of other guys don't think he can.
Well, they're probably sick of him too. Every time he shows up an event, every single shot of his is on air. Mm-hmm. And there's other guys having great rounds. They don't even get any airtime.
But here's what I would say. All those golfers owe a debt of gratitude for Tiger Woods, because
you know
the reason the money is there is because of Tiger. And I'm not saying he shouldn't speak out.
Yeah, they owe him everything.
But I got to be honest, I'm thinking the same thing. I don't think he can play anymore. I think he gets embarrassed when he shoots bad rounds.
I told you, he's always got the stiff back routine.
Right.
Bad shots, stiff back.
He has had about 8 surgeries back there.
Without question. I mean, there's something
behind
it. But you
notice how he didn't pull out of that U.S. Open when he was still able to hit it?
Well, that's the thing, right? Like, when he was down
stuck it out there.
When he was down in the Bahamas rolling birdies, all of a sudden everything was all good. I've never heard of him pulling out after he's shot a 65. You know what I mean? But I just don't think he can really play anymore.
There's not
I
the
don't
same think he pain can play when anymore. You're shooting 65 as when you're shooting 77.
Somehow that changes a little bit. All right, before we get to future headlines, we got a poll question up on Twitter, at Overdrive1050, brought to you by our friends at Colt Hockey. Visit the website, colthockey.com. What would be a bigger surprise for you, Duffy, if the Habs missed the playoffs or the Leafs won the division? Of those two options, which would be a bigger surprise in about 6 weeks?
Bigger surprise. I guess I would say the Habs missing the playoffs. That's a weird way to phrase a question, because maybe
it's not your.
They
just,
both
just
could happen.
Just pick one.
They both could happen, and they're not mutually exclusive.
Right.
Right. You could, the Leafs could win.
If I was doing the poll question on my podcast, I would have said
sponsored by.
Which is more likely to happen? The Leafs winning the division or the Habs missing the playoffs?
That's not the way we worded it here, us little people on radio.
All right. Well, if you phrase it that way, then you go ahead and answer your own.
Well, you see, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be super surprised by either. I guess I'd be more surprised if the Leafs won the division, just because they have two teams to climb, and even though Montreal's a mess, I think there's a decent chance they turn something around, and if not, I think Ottawa looks like a really solid team with the least question marks probably heading down the stretch.
Big news here before we get to future headlines that will factor into the game tonight. Kyle Lowry's out indefinitely with a right wrist injury. He'll be reevaluated next week, so it doesn't sound like it's minor, doesn't sound like it's day-to-day. Kyle Lowry out indefinitely. That is just a massive hit.
How does that happen on All-Star break?
He was just at the break. That's what it makes you wonder, how did this happen? Because he was at the All-Star game. He threw up a brick in the three-point, but he made sure to get there and perform. Was the injury before the break? If so, why was he going? If it happened after the All-Star game.
Before. It must have been.
But then you're not playing in the game. You're starting your rehab. You're not going to an All-Star game.
But that's what he's saying. So you're saying in the 4 days afterwards, when he was wherever he was.
Or was he in practice? I don't know. Did he practice today?
He didn't practice today.
So has he practiced since the All-Star break? Do we know that?
I don't believe he has.
Yeah, that's a little dicey.
He heard it in Charlotte before the break.
Can Ibaka play point guard?
No, he can't. So if Casey said that he heard it in Charlotte before the break, why is he at the All-Star game?
Yeah.
Why would you not pull out of the All-Star game? That's something that Kyle Lowry is going to have to answer for, and I would think the Raptors would too, because that's inexcusable. If you're injured, you never put the All-Star game ahead of your team.
Well, the only thing I would say to that is, if it turns out to be just a week and it was some sort of tendonitis or something that just acted up at the All-Star game, then that's somewhat excusable. If he only misses a couple of games, fine, but if it's something serious, then you're bang on, and those are fair questions.
All right, well, we'll track that again. Raps Celts tonight down at the ACC. Leafs Habs tomorrow night. You can hear that game right here on TSN 1050. Duffy, we're happy you're in here. Pre-game at 5. We're happy you're in here, because usually you're running stupid game shows like this, but you're going to partake. Is that cool?
Sure.
You're good to go with future headlines?
Sure.
All right, let's hit it.
Austin Matthews, 4 goals! Do you believe this?
Or... shifts were too long. Got caught out there, turned the puck over, dug it out of our net.
Or...
Patterson with the electrifying throwdown!
Or...
everybody wants to get paid, you know, and I'm one of those guys included.
Overdrive, future headlines.
Future headlines is brought to you by 2-for-1 Pizza. Tweet us at Overdrive1050 or text us 105050, your most outrageous future headline every Friday, for your chance to win free pizza, courtesy of our friends at 2-for-1 Pizza.
You know this works, right? It's just you pick one. Which one you think is going to be the headline on the one that you and
no
your new,
waffling,
your
no
new
wavering.
Friends can even help you decide.
Okay. Do you voice or every week, or did you just voice or once at the beginning of the year and they keep using that same or?
No, I do it every week.
Here we go.
Freddie Anderson stays hot as the Leafs finally exercise their demons and beat the Habs, or Carey Price does it again by standing on his head and beating the Leafs.
Craig first or me first?
Craig, go ahead.
You point at me, I'm going Frederick Anderson wins. I think the Montreal Canadiens are a mess.
That a boy, Craig.
Yes, me too. I'm with Craig.
Duffy?
What about your friends? What do they think?
Like the price I'm going right. to pull the audience.
The price is right.
And?
Yes.
Freddie. We got a Freddie chance.
My group says Freddie. Freddie Anderson. I was going to go with Price. I think just Julian, you got to, at some point, they got to win under Julian, don't they? But my group said Anderson, so I'm sticking with the Leafs.
All right. Yeah, I'm positive Friday, man. They've lost 13 in a row against the Habs. It's got to end at some point. The Habs are, they're a mess.
If ever now.
They're a mess. Yeah. And if they win in regulation, they're two back with a game in hand.
If Ottawa wins tonight, they will be technically in first place.
Right. Game in hand on the Habs, and they'll be tied with them in points.
Would you rather Habs Leafs or Sens Leafs in the first round? Not just as a Leafs fan asking who you think they could beat better, but what's
Leafs Habs every day of the week?
Leafs Habs every day of the week because we'd be going to Montreal.
And now as a Leafs fan, who would you rather play in the first round?
Montreal.
You'd say Montreal?
Yes, I would.
I still think I'd say Ottawa. I think I'd say Ottawa.
Get out of here. This is my segment. The Habs getting their season back on the rails with one. Whoa. The Habs getting their season back on the rails and run away with the Atlantic Division. My secretary's writing.
It's bad wordage, man.
Or the Habs never wake up from their nightmare as they shockingly miss the playoffs.
So this is a long-term future headline. This is like mid-April future headline.
We're going to call this big picture.
Miss the playoffs or get back on track? I'm gonna go with my team again and say that I don't think the collapse is going to be a miss the playoffs collapse. I don't think they win the division, but they find a way to get in there.
All right, Craig?
I don't like anything about their team, Carey Price included right now.
Wow.
I don't know how do you become faster? How do you become better offensively? Max Pacioretty has 7 goals since the All-Star break. The rest of their forwards have 6. The rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not buying Habs.
I'm going to say they shockingly missed the playoffs.
The thing is, if they miss the playoffs, yeah, you need 4 teams that knock them out. 3 in their own division and that second wild card. I'm not sure I can find 4 teams that I feel confident in getting past them. I mean, it's unless they just melt down to the point where they only win 3 of their final 22 games, and I'm not sure that's going
to
happen.
They
don't
have to melt down completely. They've already melted down to this point.
They go 500 along the way.
Well, 500 gives them a chance.
93 points,
yeah, which is right on the cut line.
I think they can do that. I think they'll still get in.
Okay.
What else do you got?
Serge Ibaka chance ring out at the ACC as he helps the Raps get a big win over the Celtics, or even with the new additions, the Raptors' struggles continue against Boston.
Well, you got to include the Lowry information here. Kyle not going tonight, that's a big hit. Now, Delon Wright had a career game right before the All-Star break, so you'd think he'll get minutes tonight. You have to believe Corey Joseph will start. But Lowry out, Isaiah Thomas is
and
a machine.
The pieces always take a time to fit,
yeah,
don't they? It seems like in basketball, maybe more than any other sport, when you get new pieces like that. So I'm going Celtics.
I'm concerned. I think Boston.
I didn't even ask my group.
It's just a
given.
They're
with you. They're with you.
It's a given. Yeah, Boston. Regrettably, I feel like the Celts.
What is the Ibaka chant?
I don't know.
Ibaka.
Yeah.
Surge.
That's what I want.
There's nothing that rolls off your tongue.
Yeah, no.
Not necessarily, but they'll get creative down there if they have to.
Baxi. Ibby.
Put the hockey spin on it. You know that's a possibility here in Toronto.
Last one is just general trade deadline day. Yay or nay?
As in actually having it anymore?
Like some massive deals.
No, I mean nay. See, I changed my...
What the hell are we going to do for 8 hours?
We have some special guests lined up.
Who?
I don't know if I'm at liberty to say at this point.
Well, I'm not
very
talking.
Popular in the television and film world. We're gonna look at. Here's the thing, Jeff. It's been terrible for the better part. Like 4 of the last 5 years have been terrible. I think if you went back and looked at it, I used to worry about this and not sleep at night. And then about 4 years ago, I stopped because. And now I just expect nothing. And if something surprises me, then I'm happy. Yeah.
I think we all are the same way.
Right. You take it as a 10-hour excuse to sit around with your buddies and talk about hockey. That's how I look at it now.
It's a hockey chat.
Yeah. Go out there, have some fun. Use every cliche in the book.
Well, it's great.
Work
but
hard, get in the corners.
All the people at home that turn on their TVs, turn on the radios, they sit at work and they're paying attention. It gives them a break from their work, right?
I hope there's something. I think Tampa's the team to watch for. That's who I think Bishop might get dealt.
Right.
One of the kids. Bob was kind of hypothesizing himself on Twitter
today. I don't actually believe Bob ever hypothesizes. I always think there's something. And that's too that's almost too bad for Bob because sometimes he probably really is hypothesizing. But whenever Bob says, let's just imagine
this scenario happens.
And I'm like, oh, he knows something.
Right.
He definitely knows something.
Someone's getting dealt.
I'm exactly the same way. Those are headlines when Bob says that.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
What happens with Johnson, Drouin, and Palat? I don't know. I guess we'll wait and see. All right, buddy. Good luck on Wednesday, and good luck tonight on the panel and the podcast and the whole nine yards.
Thank you.
I listened to your first podcast. I was a fan.
Thank you.
I'm going to subscribe.
Thank you.
Jeff
has not listened to 1 second yet. And
no,
don't
I don't do. I might do a podcast, but I don't listen to any of them. I don't have time. I don't have time for that stuff.
You know, Jeff is a snowboarder.
I don't. I go home and watch hockey games, and then I go to bed, and then I come to work, and I do
drive. Do it in the car. Stick a little Rubber Boots podcast on in the car. Is that going to hurt
you? No way.
See, I think when he's snowboarding, he should put on the headphones and listen to it.
Again, there. You know where else the podcast is good? Making love.
It's a mood setter.
Who needs the weekend when you have the podcast?
We gotta go to commercial.
The modern day Al Green over there. All right, JD, we'll see you on the panel tonight. There's James Duthie and his cast and crew.
Just bring your friends in, dude.
Parading around. Wherever he goes, they go. Good to see everyone. More of an update on Kyle Lowry and his status. 3 stars, best bets coming up. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050. Time now for our best bets, brought to you by ProLine. Ottawa, I will take them at Carolina. Carolina made that deal yesterday. They've been struggling. Ottawa, doesn't sound like Stone will play. Hoffman definitely won't play. We know Ryan won't play, but that didn't matter in Jersey. I've been impressed with their resilience. Florida, I will take against Calgary simply because the Flames coming off a back-to-back, and Florida's been playing better recently. Over the number, Arizona-Dallas, I expect that game to be just a tire fire of a game. Throw down 20 and you can score 92. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game of ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Before you wager, get the latest odds, event info, matchup stats on your phone. ProLine, get way into the game. So the big news over the past 20 minutes or so is Kyle Lowry will not play tonight, and he is out indefinitely.
I have no idea why that man was at the All-Star game.
Well, it sounds like it was his right wrist. He'll have more testing next week. This is not a one-day thing, according to Dwayne Casey. And he hurt it during the Charlotte game, I believe the second last game prior to the All-Star break. So if you hurt it at that point...
It's ridiculous.
Why did you go to the All-Star game? Did you make it worse at the All-Star game? What happened?
The All-Star game, as soon as you have an injury like that, should be out the window. For the player, for the organization, for the medical staff, for everybody involved. Like, immediate action. You're the star player. You got to get it taken care of.
Right.
I don't get it.
And you're a playoff team that has hopes of doing damage in the playoffs. And Craig, you brought up a good point off the air, though. His contractual situation, it
what
factors in.
What does that
have
to do with him not taking care of business?
Well, if he really wants to go to the All-Star game and you're going to oppose that, right, and it's really important to Kyle Lowry to go to the – you know, with a contract negotiation coming up this summer, you know, you sometimes tread lightly in those circumstances. You're okay, you can go, but you're reticent. The bottom line at this is going to be there's going to be obvious questions, and then it'll be interesting to hear what the answers are.
Right. What exactly happened? When did it happen? How bad was it? Because Kyle, or I guess someone speaking on his behalf, said that he thought it was going to be okay, and then he woke up this morning and it didn't feel right. Yeah, how can you think you're going to be okay, and then all of a sudden you wake up and tests are further down the road? Now it's beyond a day-to-day.
Right.
Goofy, man.
Like, you feel okay, but then you wake up the next day and it's week-to-week as opposed to day-to-day. That's very difficult to put those pieces together. Very difficult to make sense of that.
Well, it is, and now the questioning starts from a skeptic point of view rather than
right.
Okay, what happened here? Now there's a skepticism surrounding it, right?
Exactly.
Regardless of what your answers are, bottom line is, as an organization, you this is the last thing the Raptors need or want.
It completely takes the air out of the balloon for Ibaka and Tucker playing tonight. Serge Ibaka is about to make his debut in the next half an hour, 45 minutes.
Fans are going
to
be like, what the hell's going on here?
The only thing buzzing at the ACC will be, what's up with Kyle? Like, and there'll be people in there that won't know this information, and you'll just hear the chatter. Where's Kyle? Why is Lowry not playing? And then word will start to spread. Actually, he could be out for an extended period of time because of an injury that he suffered before the All-Star game. It completely takes the air out of the balloon. And this is just such a big game, and they're a team that had so many issues before the All-Star break, and this was all about the reset button. You got to the All-Star game. You made deals. Now you're healthy. There's no excuse. Get out there. Now you got an excuse. Your best player is not going to be available to you. And they needed him tonight. Isaiah Thomas might be the MVP this season. He just torched the Raptors a couple of weeks ago in Boston. And you would expect that he will continue to play well tonight. So Kyle Lowry out indefinitely, right wrist injury. Leafs-Habs tomorrow night. Hear the game right here on TSN 1050. Pre-game starts at 5 p.m.
Yes guy, no guy.
We should point out from an injury standpoint, Marner didn't skate with the team, so I don't think you expect him to play tomorrow night. Right? I don't think he'll play.
Him and Carrick both didn't skate with the team.
So they're probably both out.
I think the expectation I think I heard somebody talk about Mike Babcock saying, well, they're not here, then you know, and if it was me, I wish they were here. And a big game, they'd love to have Marner tomorrow night.
Well, you could feel it last night too. Like he's just such a special player, and he can change the momentum of the game with one shift. And especially in a building like that. That building comes alive when Mitch Marner's dancing. And I think it'll be alive tomorrow night regardless. But you add him to the mix, it would be potentially on a different level. All right, let's get to the Overdrive. Three stars of the day brought to you by Bab Sox.
Overdrive. Three stars of the day.
I'll go with the third star. The laugh track that joined us here. Duthie's crew, his entourage, his posse that all came in. And they seemed to really laugh at everything he said.
Nothing that we said.
We said some funny things, or I thought were borderline funny, and not even a flinch.
I'll go with Rossi Atkins.
Yes.
With the double yawn. yawned us.
Yeah.
Hey, we love him, though.
Lots of sun down there in Dunedin. It's early into the season. He's trying to get the wheels back up and running. You have a first star for us, Craig? You can throw anyone out there.
Anybody out there. Oh, boy.
Anyone out there.
Anybody out there. I'm trying to think of the whole show here. Who is the whole show? Huh? I'll tell you who the first star is.
My jacket.
That's exactly who the first star is. The alumni jacket and Jeff modeling it with not only pride, but with class.
I'm with you. That's a good call. The jacket is the first star.
I'm all about the class.
Overdrive three stars of the day is brought to you by Bab Sox. Add a little grit to your wardrobe with hockey's greatest game day ritual. Pull up your Bab Sox and support the team. We're out of here. We're back Monday at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.